Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a lovely weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 9th of September. Several families have been moved into temporary accommodation after the flats where they lived in Thanet were condemned. Water got into the electrics of the block in Cliftonville when heavy rain poured through the roof during renovations. Matt Scholl is chair of the Athelstan Road Tenants and Residents Association. He's been speaking to reporter Millie Bowles.
The roof had been removed from the building and there was torrential rain which caused a power cut throughout the whole building. And the fire alarms went off. So the fire brigade came. They couldn't turn off the fire alarms, but they regarded the amount of water inside the building as a fire hazard because the main electrical board for the whole building was flooded. So they dug up the pavement and detached the property from the national grid and contacted Thanet District Council Emergency Housing, and tenants were found alternative accommodation, quite a few of them outside Margate, which is very difficult for those families who have children going to school in Margate.
And yeah, how has that sort of affected the residents, you know, I guess lives and emotionally?
Very disruptive to their family lives. They've had to abandon their home and all their possessions in the condemned building and travel elsewhere in Kent, not even in Thanet, to have a roof over their heads. And now that school's started up again, that's going to be very difficult for them. Hopefully the council will be able to house them somewhere in Thanet so their children can continue going to their regular schools.
The council say they've been in touch with the landlords to ensure the property is fixed and residents allowed back.
Kent Online reports.
A man's been killed after being hit by a lorry on the M25 near the Dartford Crossing. Police were called to the hard shoulder of the clockwise carriageway in the early hours of yesterday. Two men had been standing between junctions 29 and 30 when they were struck. One died at the scene, the other is being treated in hospital. A court heard how a Whitstable man left his wife and children screaming in terror and hiding after he broke into their new home. Philip Blake said he struggled with the breakdown of his marriage. He also bombarded his ex with abusive calls and texts. The 42-year-old from Grimthorpe Avenue has been sentenced to carry out rehab and unpaid work, pay nearly £200 in costs, and is subject to a restraining order. Protesters have set up a blockade outside a Kent factory that's accused of sending weapons to Israel. Palestine Action blocked all roads leading into the Instro Precision site at the Discovery Park in Sandwich this morning. They've also covered the building in red paint and set up banners. This protester told us why they're there.
We are in front of Instro, which is complicit in the genocide that's going on in Gaza. They are actively involved and they need to be shut down. They were responsible for the flower massacre, also playing sounds of children and other people screaming to lure Palestinians in and then kill them. So they need to be shut down and they should not be anywhere near the UK. They need to close up and leave.
People have also been standing at the entrance of the site with a banner.
Shut up and down!
It's not the first time the factory's been targeted. In June, a group of protesters smashed their way in and caused damage to equipment. Tributes are being paid to a woman who died after being hit by a taxi in Herne Bay. Lynn Durling was walking her dog Boston along the Old Thanet Way on Friday evening when they were both killed. The 60-year-old's been described as an amazing woman who was loved by everyone who met her. Businesses in Maidstone town centre have been left with smashed windows after a night of vandalism. CCTV allegedly shows two girls setting off a fire extinguisher on Week Street before two men arrived and smashed glass in the early hours of Saturday. You can see pictures of the damage done to Shoe Zone and Poundland at Kent Online. It comes as a new report's found more than 65% of people who've reported antisocial behaviour haven't had their problems resolved. The Victims Commissioner also said there are more than a million cases nationally each year. Paul Wheeler lives in Dartford and has filmed gangs setting cars on fire behind his house.
I've been trying since we moved in here in 2016 to try and get the council to pay attention to this. It massively gives us huge amounts of anxiety. And stress, lack of sleep. It obviously makes you want to move.
Kent Police say they're aware of local concerns and are working to address them. There are calls for something to be done about a broken pavement in Maidstone, which is forcing hundreds of schoolchildren to walk on the road. There's a 10-metre section of footpath missing from the corner of St Peter Street and Buckland Hill. Wheelchair users are also having to go on the carriageway. The leader of the local council's written to KCC, who say it'll cost up to £2 million to fix. Garden centre chain Dobby's is said to be at risk of closing some of its stores. It follows a major restructuring of the company after US investors took over 18 months ago. There are currently branches in Ashford and Gillingham. A Kent cemetery is locked in a battle over plans for a new road. Bluebell Cemetery in Badger Mount say it's necessary to divert trucks and deliveries away from mourners. Sevenoaks Council say it's inappropriate because the land is in the Greenbelt.
Kent Online News.
A man's admitted stealing £9,000 worth of health and beauty products from boot stores, including one in Dover. The 50-year-old went on a countrywide spree last month. He could face jail time and will remain in custody ahead of his sentencing. It's thought a house fire in Swanscombe over the weekend was started by a lightning strike. Crews were called to Charles Crescent in the early hours of yesterday to report a flat roof was alight. It took about an hour to get under control. Luckily, no one was hurt. A road in Swanscombe has been closed after three new sinkholes opened up in the space of 3 days. Work's underway to repair the carriageway on Galley Hill Road, just metres away from a landslide 18 months ago. Oliver from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to Dartford MP Jim Dixon.
It's a really difficult situation in Swanscombe at the moment. As people will know, there's a big sort of recent history of road collapses in Swanscombe, including the A226 Galley Hill Road, which is pretty notorious because it collapsed something like 17 months ago and large vehicles have been diverting through the narrow streets of Swanscombe, creating a nightmare for residents since that time. The situation became worse at the end of last week when on Friday a new sinkhole appeared on the A226 London Road, which is the sort of continuation of Galley Hill Road. I went down to have a look. Thames Water and Kent County Council did some investigations, felt they were able to fill the hole in and take out the road closure that they'd imposed in London Road. And all seemed to be well, but very shortly after that, new sinkholes appeared in London Road and the roads nearby. And that has necessitated a further closure up the High Street, affecting more streets than the previous closures. While Kent County Council and Thames Water undertake further tests with a view to remedying the problem. And I'm urging them to get this work done as soon as possible so that residents can return to the situation as pertained last week, albeit we still have the Galley Hill road closure, which is a nightmare, and that's set to continue for a while.
Well, conversations with Thames Water and KCC, is it in any way connected to the Galley Hill? So I know like there's been lots of issues surrounding like soil and everything in the area. So is this, to your knowledge, connected, or is it just another unfortunate set of circumstances in the same area?
I think there's a big problem with roads in that area in that they are all built on chalk surfacing, chalk cliffs effectively overlooking the estuary, and that makes them inherently unstable. I think on top of that, you've got a decade of underinvestment in roads under the last government and by Kent County Council, who haven't got any money. And this is creating a very unstable situation for Swanscombe. I've actually invited the roads minister to come down, and she is going to visit us shortly in Swanscombe to look at Galley Hill Road. And while she is down, I will be talking to her about the wider problem in Swanscombe and the surrounding areas with roads, given the materials involved. And I think really the solution is a bigger review of how we create stable road surfacing and stable roads in the Swanscombe area into the future. And that's going to cost money, but we need to get on with that review to see how much it would cost to restore things, because otherwise this is going to be happening time and time again, in my view.
You can see pictures of the latest sinkhole over on our website.
Kent Online reports.
There's been backlash over plans to build new houses on farmland in Thanet. Developers are eyeing up a site for a new housing estate not too far from Pegwell Village near Ramsgate. Residents say the project would be too close to the Pegwell Bay National Nature Reserve and put habitats at risk. A public meeting will be held next week. It comes as the Kent Wildlife Trust have launched a major appeal to save the county's woodlands. The charity wants to raise £475,000 to buy areas that are at risk and protect land from development, disease, pollution and climate change. It's their biggest ever fundraiser. Now, the parents of a boy with special needs say he's been denied essential equipment by the council. 11-year-old Thomas Powell has a condition that means he's non-verbal and needs support to be able to get around. Mum Emma says she's contacted Medway Council for a new walker, which would cost £4,000, but was turned down. She's now managed to raise the money and has been speaking to local Democracy reporter Robert Boddy.
So Thomas has a rare genetic condition called Plasmer's Backer disease. Which means his myelin on his brain and his nervous system hasn't grown correctly. So it affects his whole day-to-day living. So he's tube-fed, he's non-verbal, he's completely reliant on full supportive equipment.
You were recommended to get a new walker in September, is that right?
Yep, last September.
And so what were the things that meant that the old walker wasn't quite right anymore?
So he's just obviously getting taller. It's been adjusted to the highest possible adjustment. Now his arms are longer, he gets his arms stuck in the spokes of the wheels. His headrest now isn't in the right position, so he'll fall from side to side. So now when he's walking, you have to hold his head in place because he's not getting the full support from the walker now.
It's pretty clear that he needs a new walker.
Yeah,
the physio has said that as much.
Yeah.
But Medway Council say they're not going to, or they won't pay for it.
Yeah, they won't pay for his new walker, won't fund it. Mm-hmm. Mostly because it doesn't go back and forth between school as often as they liked. We was having issues with it fitting on the school bus. Mm-hmm. So they have said now that they will fit the new one on the school bus as best as they can, mm-hmm. so it can travel back and forth school with him. But they just didn't want it to be left at school for periods of time.
Mm-hmm. And so then you started the fundraiser, is that?
We did, yep. So we was out for a walk one day and I was like, we're going to have to think of a way to get him his walker that he needs. And we was walking around the park and I was like, oh, Thomas, we could do a sponsored walk and raise money that way for your walker. And if you do a lap of the park, I'll do 5K at the gym on the treadmill. And he's beating me currently on how many laps he's done compared to my gym. And we just shared it on our local Raynham Facebook page, mm-hmm. and said, if you see him outside in the park, just say hi, because a few people were saying hello, and he was like putting his thumbs up quite happy, and I thought, oh, that'll just cheer him along, because it's quite hard for him to walk a long distance, so mm-hmm. keep him going. And then everyone was like, oh, set up a GoFundMe page, and yeah, within 24 hours we had well over what we had hoped for, because mm-hmm. we'd only looking for half and we'd fund the other half ourselves, so we don't have to do that now. So people of Raynham, friends and family, have made sure he can have his new walker.
Medway's deputy council leader Theresa Murray says she's invited Thomas's mum to a meeting to discuss the situation. Her statement goes on to say, we do have financial constraints and budget allocation rules, but it's important that we work together to secure the very best we can to help SEND children in Medway thrive.
Kent Online News.
A village pub in Folkestone has closed suddenly after trading for three quarters of a century. The Providence Inn in Sadgate first started serving alcohol in 1949, but had its final day of trading last month. Customers say it's a shame, and the closure could be down to too much competition in the area. It's hoped a closed cinema in Dover will soon be used by more community groups after plans for a new fire exit were approved. The Silver Screen Cinema shut in 2022 and has been used for events and as an education space, but it shares a fire exit with the museum next door. Once it has one of its own, it's hoped it can open more often and for longer hours. And in a bid to bring more tourists to Gravesham, the council has launched a campaign to celebrate the area's attractions. It comes ahead of the first ever Gravesend Oktoberfest next month, which will see the town's market transformed into a German beer hall with live music. It's believed the local tourism scene rakes in £70 million.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and Gillingham have suffered their first League Two defeat of the season. They dropped down to fourth in the table after losing 1-0 to Doncaster Rovers at the weekend. Manager Mark Bonner spoke to reporters after the match and told us what he thought of his team's performance.
Huffed and puffed, chased the game as best we could. I mean, we put a lot of players on the pitch to try and help us. Probably too many, really, in the end. we had not enough threat in the game, really, to be honest. Like, we've had a lot of the ball, and in periods we got some control of it, but their transitions to attack are outstanding. We didn't play with enough personality at times in the first half, anywhere near. The goal we give them soft, really soft, and we were too soft two moments without the ball at times. And then just knowing when to play quick, when to be slower, when to get some control, when to go direct, when to play through, when at the end to just serve the box and play diags, and those little bits of decision making just a little bit off at times. So I don't think the game's fairly balanced in certain areas, but they've created more than us. They certainly deserve to win the game. We haven't done enough to win it or to score in the game in the end. So a couple of set play threatening moments, but little else. Loads of endeavour to try and get something, but there were moments in the game where their play was a level above ours.
Yeah, the last 20 minutes, kind of lost possession, put balls into the box, just that appeared that final touch was missing.
Yeah, sometimes the quality, sometimes the decision, sometimes the final touch. And like anything, like they've got something to hold on to, so they're defending their box really well. But the disappointment bits are when you get set play moments and you don't deliver with quality when we've got it, or the goalie can take it uncontested against the crowd, or we're playing with about eight strikers and we play three passes around the back rather than get the ball forward and give it away and give them a chance to press, or we go into a wider position and we don't cross it, or we get a chance for a long throw and we play short and try and find our way in the box when we've got three giants at the top end of the pitch. So just moments like that, really. And to be fair, the game's chaos at that point, and we've made it chaos because we've put loads of players on the pitch in a system or a style that we haven't looked at all been able to. So it becomes a bit chaotic, but you just hope that our common sense a little bit comes to the fore in times there. But yeah, it wasn't to be. So good teams respond quickly, so we'll need to do that. I like the effort of the team, but I think we're lacking a bit in personality that I want to see a little bit more of in certain games, especially when you come to the best teams. You've got to take the ball and build.
Their next match is against Tranmere Rovers at Priestfield on Saturday. In cricket, Matt Walker's stepping down as head coach at Kent. He's been in the role for the last 8 years after 16 playing for the county. The 50-year-old's led them to trophies in the T20 Blast and One Day Cup, plus promotion to Division 1 of the county championship. But they've had a difficult season and could now be relegated. There are just 3 games left to play. Today's the first day of their match against Hampshire at Canterbury. And as the Paralympics comes to an end, it's hoped more people will consider joining a group for disabled athletes in Kent. Inclusive Sport was set up 6 years ago and has now been given funding for a new headquarters in Whitstable. They run sessions for children and adults across East Kent. Tom Tangarides is their director.
Really, it's using sport as a vessel for wellbeing and happiness. There's lots of people and children, young people and adults that generally find traditional sport hard to access, whether it's because of background, needs, disabilities or demographic. So we're just trying to even the playing field by allowing these people to access sport for the goodness it brings people, as well as skill development, all those great things that sport brings, but mainly to support well-being, provide belongingness and allow people to feel part of a club. We started off in sport, hence Inclusive Sport, which is ranges from running sports sessions in the community in partnership with schools, as well as private pay-as-you-go sessions for parents.
And how important is it to give people these opportunities that they might not otherwise have?
I always find it difficult to speak on behalf of people, but if I just give you anecdotal examples, I think that's always nicer. One of the things I love to share anecdotally the most is there's a couple of beneficiaries that attended a tennis session that met there. And after time working with each other, after about, I think it's been 6 months, maybe one of them proposed to the other and they're actually they're engaged to be married. There's another example of two lads that met our football sessions that found traditional football clubs hard to access due to their needs. They were both living with parents of supported living, and through their friendship that they made at the football session have now secured their own apartment together. So they've got a proper lads flat going, and they love it. So it's those beyond the sport aspects that we're trying to bring, which I know a lot of people who access traditional sports I probably don't appreciate as much as those who don't get to access it, because you do make friends there. You often get work opportunities through your gym or your sports club. So we get so much from those environments that we maybe don't appreciate. And that's what we're trying to make sure these people that may find traditional sport difficult still get the opportunity to do.
And obviously with the Paralympics on at the moment, we're hearing all these inspirational stories and seeing people do things that really are quite mind-blowing. Do you think people are maybe more interested in getting involved perhaps while the Paralympics are on?
Yeah, absolutely. The Olympics and Paralympics, I still feel the purest form of sports and competition, because unlike other traditional sports, more popular sports, where maybe the athletes aren't the greatest role models at times, when you watch the Olympics and Paralympics, you still get that pure sportsmanship, sportspersonship feel to what's going on. And actually, the more publicity the Paralympics get, like it is now, it's on Sky Sports News, getting daily updates and things, there's more likely those people in communities like what we serve that might think that can be for them. But without that exposure, which is getting now, that opportunity might not happen. So now we'll be able to play on, did you see the event at the weekend? Let's try and do that in our sessions. And there might be one person out of the 100 we work with that actually bites onto a sport. And that means they believe they can be an athlete, Paralympian one day. And if that happens, that's the biggest success story ever. But otherwise, they're still going to find a passion for being active, which is important too.
The closing ceremony for the Paralympics took place last night. Britain won a total of 124 medals. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.